Now, broadcasting on Radio Star Worldwide, it's time for Dr. Rademacher's Prescription for Transformation. Let's tap into your own authentic genius and live the life you desire. Join Dr. Rademacher for an enlightened conversation about our brain intelligence, our body intelligence, and our energy intelligence. And now, here's your host, Dr. Bart Rademacher.
Welcome. I'm Dr. Bart Rademacher, Prescription for Your Transformation, Real People, Real Conversations, and Real Success. And when we talk about gifts, that is such a unique and beautiful talent that some of us in the world actually have. And we call them gifts, you know, for a very specific reason, because it's something unique and special that somebody has that can also then give that to you in the form that is best received if you're ready for that gift. And so what is it that I'm really talking about? Well, in Prescription for Your Transformation, it's consistently about how is it that we get in alignment with ourselves? Because getting that alignment, finding that prescription that's right for us, then guess what? We can find our divine happiness. We can find our purpose. We can live the life by our own design. And that's the key thing about all the things that I get to do and the most amazing people like today that I get to interview, because I learned so much to be able to transform my life, but my emotional currency comes in when I get to share the wisdom and the gifts of other people so that you can then change your life. And so today, it's an incredible honor and a gift for me and all of us to be talking to Olivia Ducasse. And I don't think I can actually give her enough credit for what she does. So I'm going to let that magically unfold during this interview and have her share with you what it is. But think about this for a moment. You know, think about this inner voice inside of you that talks to you. How often do you really listen to it? Are you scared to listen to it? Do you have the courage to actually do what that inner voice tells you? Because there is a truth about that inner voice, that intuition, and getting in alignment with purpose. So, Olivia, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Bart. It's absolutely my pleasure. And thank you so much for your kind words and your introduction. I hope I can live up to those accolades.
Well, you already have, because I've known you for the last couple of months, and the incredible insights that you've helped me, and that's also very much transformative in my life, and I'm very privileged and honored to experience that. And now it's my turn to let the world know, more of the world, I should say, about what it is that you do. But early on, we were talking about purpose. Share with us a little bit about what's your insight about purpose. And how should we really approach that?
So great question, Bart. Every time that I work with clients, I try to encourage them to, whether they are at a midlife crisis or whether they are just beginning their life in general, getting married, having children, all of those amazing milestones that we like to mark our life by. The one thing that I encourage them to do is not to go searching for or finding their life purpose. It's really more about doing less than efforting and doing more. Because we all have this divine gift. We all have intuition, and we all have a purpose. And it's so much less about going out there and reading every book and meeting every person and attending every meeting until you find out what that purpose is. And it's so much more focused on conversations with self, on lists of inner clarity, meditation, things that we've spoken about that are just incredible clarity exercises, because it's less about finding your gift and more about claiming. And it feels so much more energetically clean when you can give someone the differentiation of claiming something that is already innately theirs by birth, because it is, than finding something or attempting to find it out in an external environment. The truth is, we create our own reality. And so everything that we are experiencing around ourselves is just a reflection of what we're holding within ourselves.
You know, that's absolutely brilliant, because Two things come to mind right away. And first of all, I think so many people are technically lost in this world simply because they haven't connected with their real purpose. And part of the problem is they're doing exactly what you're saying, is they're looking outside of themselves. And you're constantly searching for something that magically will shine in their face. It's like, yes, Allah, finally, this is my purpose. And the real gift, and I also like to phrase it in the form of, there is that authentic genius within all of us. You just have to find it. So getting into that alignment, as you very properly, placed it with me in the conversation beforehand, is alignment with self, alignment with purpose, and claiming what's already there. I mean, that's what's beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I feel so blessed because for me, my purpose was pretty much always established for me. From the age of 3, I was always receiving messages, and I don't ever remember not living that way. So it was, although it was a process for me of trying to reject what was so innately me and my gift, it was sort of decided, or I should say chosen, self-chosen for myself long before I came into this world. And so what I encourage with everyone that I work with is that there is a seed that was planted that you may not remember, that you may feel very disconnected from, but that still very much is alive, exists, and is still growing. So it's about making sure that you're maintaining your physical, emotional, and spiritual alignment to meet up with that. And as I said, it's not about reading every book. It's not about going to every meeting. But the keystones and the touchstones in that are that you may read one book that's transformative. You may meet one person at a meeting that is the key to transforming your life and turning it around. So we have to keep going, keep moving, and keep perpetuating this self-claimancy of knowing that we have this, but it's just a matter of time until our vibration matches up with that. It's not whether we find it or don't. It's only a matter of time. And when I can really redirect people's minds in that knowledge, I see so much fear being relieved. I see people that keep that mental, scorecard and clock going eternally, that they feel like they're running out of time, or they wish that they were further along in their life than what they are. I mean, that's a really big epidemic that we face. And it's a huge contributor to stress, anxiety, and total loss of connection. It's easy for me to say because I constantly am connected to all that is and sort of that realm, to say that losing connection, it is something that we suffer from, but I really and truly see it every day. And whether that is religion, whether that is socially connected, however you can find that connection with the knowledge that everything is connected, is always going to be a positive doorway for you to walk through. So whatever means necessary is sort of my prescription for how to establish that conversation and how to begin.
All that you're saying actually totally resonates. I mean, this whole idea of everything is connected. And I discovered a while back going through my personal growth, doing the deep work and that journey, as you like to call it, I've discovered that of my top 3 values, my number 3 value, really quite to my surprise, I didn't even understand where it really came from. And that was universal connection. And I live by that. All the things that I do today and how I manifest my destiny, if you will, is through the concept of universal connection. But here was a challenge that I had. And being a physician and trained for 17 years, been in school for 35, and not because I'm a slow learner, but because it is a long journey.
I really liked it.
yeah, exactly. I didn't know any better. The truth is that when I was about, I think 9 or 10, I already had the aspirations in the direction that I am in today. Fortunately, I was in an environment that gave me permission to do that. But so often people aren't in those kinds of environment where they can be themselves. And one of the things that I've discovered over time is that we're all victims of what I call misconceptions of reality. And so how do you help people? You know, how do you advise people, if you will, to listen to what that inner voice is saying? Because you said it yourself, there's a lot of fear associated. There's a lot of the potential of rejection, you know, potential of being misjudged and all these different, you know, bad things that could happen to you.
Yeah, that's a great question. It's so important that we talk about this because this is such a relevant thing that I see daily in my work with people and with my clients. The way that I like to begin and initiate that conversation is that all of us, whether it's a religious belief or dogma, or whether it's a familial heredity pattern of behavior that we see, you know, if we grow up in an alcoholic environment where there's a lot of abuse, does that begin to be perpetuated? And I do believe that on a cellular level, our body is keeping score as well. I mean, as you must see yourself. But all of that, all that is influenced by the soul and is by the spirit. And there is a resonance within all of us that helps us decide. It's really, really great. It's this wonderful built-in emotional guidance system. So when I say to you something that you have to think about, whether I share a theory with you or my opinion, you can feel that that's a really cerebral process, that you have to sort of give that some airtime in your brain. But when I say something that connects to you in an emotive way, it resonates as truth and you can feel it in your heart. So what I encourage people to do is run it through the filter. Is that truth? Does it resonate in my heart? Or is that something else? Am I thinking or am I knowing? You can feel and understand the difference between what you think and what you know. The reality is that this energy that all of us are, whether you want to call it God or source or simply scientific atoms coalescing to look like human form, it's just a name. It is the bottom line of who we all are at our core. So at some point, we have to give ourselves permission to reduce it back to zero and run it through our filter of what resonates in our heart as truth. And that quite often, when you feed yourself information, will resonate distinctly one way or the other, because there's two base emotion and two base parallel energies in the universe. There's love and there's fear. And everything that feels like challenge and effort and difficulty and judgment comes from a place of fear. Everything that feels like acceptance, gratitude, joy, purpose comes from love. And even in that, fear is still an aspect of love. So we can understand our emotions and we can understand what energy we are most coinciding with. It becomes then very easy to sift and sort how we want to select our thoughts and how we want to design our life. Do we want to build our life from a place of fear, or do we want to build our life from a place of ultimately love? And everyone, I'm a firm believer that everyone on this planet wants to build their life from a place of love. That is the origin of who we all are.
You know, there's a lot of scientific fact to really support what you're saying, perhaps using different terms. But in the world of what's called NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, which I know you're familiar with, but for those listening, it's the neurology, it's the language and the programming of our communication with ourselves and the outside world. And there's the awareness, the scientific fact, if you will, that one of the directives of the unconscious mind is for positive intent. And so everything we do is motivated by a positive intent. Even though the behavior might be negative or destructive or disempowering, everything's motivated by positive intent. And so you are right in that sense, is that ultimately it is all about love. If we could just unclutter and let go all the garbage that's cluttering up that filter. And I think that's the key issue. And one thing that I share with everyone when I talk about the things that I talk about is that it's my belief that we all desire divine happiness, however you want to define it, however you want to believe in it, that that's possible or not. The truth is, is that it's there for us to have. And so how do we get it? And then there's this complicated, you know, concept of everything outside of ourselves and the ego, and it gets very confusing. I keep it very simple. All we have to do is resolve whatever makes us unhappy. And so my question for you is kind of the same, is it necessary, or is this the path for us to get in touch with that heart, with that intuition, and just start letting go of the stuff that just get in the way, and having that awareness of what that is? But then my question for you is, how do we get to be aware of what it is that we need to let go?
Well, that's a really interesting question, because it's so relative to all of us, but the answer is actually really simplistic. So there are two ways to live your life. And I'll start by saying this. The first is that we're in this universe and we're on this rock and we're floating through space and nothing is connected. And we live X number of years, 85 if we're lucky, with moderate to severe health issues towards the end of that life. And we come and we observe all of the things that are going on around us, and we stand as victims of the creative process we see occurring, and then we die. And that nothing is connected, and that's it. And the second is that we are all connected. Everything is a miracle, and that life is always expanding. So that is the first question you have to ask yourself. How do you want to live your life? And for most people, even though I'm sure you would find some that would answer the previous and want to, you know, sort of be a monkey wrench in the pipe work, I would push them to believe or to ask themselves if that's really their belief. You know, and with what I do, I always say that I welcome skeptics, because skeptics are people that question with an open mind. What I don't welcome, and what I think many people find themselves are in the position of cynics. And a cynic is somebody who dismisses everything, all of the ways in which the universe is speaking to them, all of the bird that shows up on your doorstep, or the flower that suddenly grows that was your mother's favorite flower that you know you've never planted, or the dream that you have of your loved one when you haven't seen them and they've sadly crossed. All of these things that are inexplicable, but that we like to sort of lump in the category of explainable, or our minds working too fast. And I firmly believe that that comes from a inherited and a conditioned behavior pattern of worth. We do, if we feel disconnected, we are not feeling the true worth of who we are in our soul. Is that simple? If we could see ourselves through the eyes of source, through the eyes of even the medical community, how many millions of processes have to occur exactly perfectly in order to just be born? So we can talk about it in terms of science, or we can talk about it in terms of spirit, but we get the same answer. If we are here, we are here for a reason. Nature doesn't make mistakes. Everything in the organic world around us is either growing or dying. And so if we're here, and while we're here, we have to start growing, or we begin a process of dying. So for me, it just becomes so easy to strip it down to its lowest common denominator. We have to identify, do you want to be happy or sad? Most people would say happy. That's one. Then we have to identify, do you believe that you have a purpose? Most people may say no. You believe that you have worth. We've really got to uproot a lot of these, you know, behavioral and mental pathways that you spoke about, because those are the sort of insidious drivers of the bus that we are not aware of in our daily life. But connection, and connection to spirit and intuition and divine, it has nothing to do with the brain. It has nothing to do with those NLPs. That is straight heart connection, and that is what resonates as truth. So we can dial that back always through meditation, through prayer, through walking in nature. And sadly, we live in a culture of desensitization, of disconnection. And so as simplistic as it sounds, what I encourage people to do is just do one thing a day that is pure joy for you, whether that is eating pancakes or going to look at puppies in a pet store. And people will call me up and say, Olivia, I'm at a midlife crisis. And the first thing I say to them is go to a flower market and walk around for half an hour and pick out three colors you have never noticed before. And they say, you are insane. And some of them hang up the phone, but then always quickly call back. And every single person I've sent on this exercise comes back and says, you know, I saw the shade of blue I had never quite noticed before, or I saw this orange that reminded me of my grandmother. There's so many things that we tune ourselves out of that are such a part of the connection. The universe is more than willing to play with us and to show us the next step and the next step and the next step if we will just be willing participants. So I'd invite people, believe what I say, don't believe what I say, but don't be a cynic, at least be a skeptic. I can appreciate a healthy skeptic.
You know, I think skepticism is a useful tool. And so far I use a different term in the sense of you're a critical thinker. Or said differently, trust but verify. And I think that's a nice one as well. Just verify that this is the right thing for you. But there's an interesting, a fun story about the monk and the student, and the monk is telling the student to meditate for 20 minutes a day. And then the student says, well, monk, I don't have the time. I can't do that. And then the monk looks at him and tells him, well, then you must meditate an hour a day. And what's interesting of that, and exactly what you're saying, is we become very disconnected with ourselves because we're not allowing ourselves to follow the vibration of the world around us. The world being such a beautiful place. I mean, I go to the ocean and just think to myself, wow, this expanse, the amount of life that we're not even aware of, you know, in this ocean. So how much is there out there that we're just simply not connected with, or not, let me rephrase that, just not in our awareness? And so if, when we come into that place, what I call dissonance, you know, that you're right, that's that time just to begin connecting with the beauty around us. And that's a conscious choice, not getting stuck with the fear, not getting stuck with all the obligations, but just simply taking that time and realizing, you know, what's coming in inside. And so that leads me to the next thing. And I love this term that you use, because it's a term that I use, and I've been using it for the last, what, 3 or 4 years. And it started off when I was getting ready for a trip to Ecuador. It was a humanitarian trip. And we were giving lectures to one of the biggest universities in South America, about the healing and coaching practices that we had. And so I was getting ready for that, and I says, wow, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. And then I realized that the most exciting thing about going with a whole bunch of, you know, strangers that I didn't know, was how was I going to show up in this new environment? You know, it's completely different, a strange foreign environment, if you will. And how is that going to show up? And then I realized, well, hang on a second. The coolest part is noticing what's in me. And that's when I came to the epiphany realization, I get to celebrate my faults and my weaknesses. That's a cool place to be. And that's giving me permission to be human. So the word permission that you're using, I'd like to hear your way of giving us permission. And your take on that as far as the intuition and life and soul and purpose and all that.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite words, because I'm always reaching for the emotional vibration of words and occurrences. So permission just sounds so satisfying. It sounds satisfying, and I can connect with the emotional component of that, because permission is really about coming to a point where you've weighed the facts, where you understand what brought you to this point, and you are then allowing yourself to simply be and to simply transform into who you are to become. Now, it is one of the greatest faults that we can exercise against ourselves in this lifetime, is that we don't allow ourselves permission. We don't allow ourselves permission to dream. Sometimes we reach a point in life and we think, gosh, I used to want to do this, but I'm too old now, or I couldn't go back to school. We don't give ourselves permission to be fully seen. I know several women, and several women that I speak to in lectures and seminars will say to me, well, you know, I wanted to get my hair cut, or I wanted to buy that dress, but then I thought, well, I don't want everyone to look at me, or I don't want anyone to see me, or what would they think? We're not giving ourselves permission to, as you said, fully show up and be seen in all of our power, in all of our light, in all of our energy. And then the craziest thing is, while we're not giving ourselves permission to do that, we then turn around and we express depression and anxiety over not being seen. So it's this really vicious cycle of wanting to be seen, but we're not self-validating enough. And again, that comes back down to worth. We make success, happiness, and joy a rare thing. When my success may not be the same definition as yours, but we can give ourselves permission to experience small successes. Maybe it's 10 sit-ups. Maybe it's walking to the end of the road. Maybe it's getting everything on your to-do list done. Maybe it's running the Boston Marathon. But I would encourage people who are trying to practice permission for transformation and tapping into their intuition, really owning their power, that they replace success with another one of my most favorite satisfying words, which is fulfillment. Mm. Because we think we're reaching for success, but we're not. What we're really reaching for is the emotion of fulfillment. That means that our emotions, our senses, I mean, you just know when you're fulfilled, you just know, you can feel it. And so instead of drawing out this marker sheet of where we think we should be, that we haven't given ourselves permission to become, how about enjoying the process and being as fulfilled as possible along the way? And the analogy that I like to give people is that imagine that your life, or whatever it is that you want to manifest or create, intuitively speaking, and when I give law of attraction workshops, I speak about this specific exercise, and I use it in terms of relationship, because that is a really hot button topic. People say, where is my partner? How can I manifest a partner? It's a really quick, really easy system that begins with permission. I'll share with you now. So if you can imagine whatever your goal is, whatever you want to manifest or create, that is the meal. Imagine the most delicious meal that you could possibly create. For me, it would probably be some sort of delicious, rich pasta dish. So the first step in the process, when we're investigating and we're learning and we are experiencing different people, if we're talking about relationships, this person, this partner may be, you know, the cheese. The next person may be the pasta. The third person may be the sauce. And all of these different elements are so essential to the end result and dish. And the key is to understand that process and to be as satisfied and fulfilled that even though you're moving on from the cheese to the pasta, you're gaining experience. You are gaining momentum and you're gaining expansion. The other thing that we don't like to talk about or acknowledge about ourselves is that we can never go backwards. You can never unlearn what you already know. You can never unhave the life experience that you have had. So in terms of intuition and tapping into it and finding your purpose, you literally have nothing to lose. All that you have to gain is experience. All that you have to gain is wisdom, insight, and better yet, connection and fulfillment. It is the best journey that you will ever take. I can promise you that.
No, very, very well said. Actually, I'm making a pasta dish tonight.
I wish there was a virtual way for me to have some. See, I must have just tapped into that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, there's a couple of sayings out there, and one is from Tony Robbins, and he says, success without fulfillment is failure. And then, you know, another one I like of Oprah, and she says, you know, the only failure is the failure to try. And you're so right on in that, you know, we have to try things out. We have to experiment things. You know, we've grown up over time And in the beginning of time, we experimented a lot of things because we didn't have, you know, any habits at that time. And we realized we liked certain things and we didn't. And so any of the habits that don't serve us today, well, we can unlearn those and bring new ones on board. But one of the things I like to ask you, because, you know, for some people, fulfillment just seems just a far-fetched, far-off kind of concept. And what are your thoughts about, you know, just helping people think of being grateful? And you talk to some of the most successful people in the world, and you ask them, you know, what is success? How is it that you're, you know, what is success for you? And they say it's gratitude. So how do you help people put that, integrate that into their world of fulfillment?
Yeah. So gratitude is such a key component. There's one exercise that is a brain hack, life hack. And people say to me, how can I be more grateful? And I always share with them that if you're asking the question of how do I become more grateful, the groundwork is already done because it means that your heart is open. But one thing that can absolutely transform your day in almost no time at all, and most of us will really enjoy doing it, is in the morning when you wake up, before you reach for your phone, before you stumble out of bed and step on a Lego, before you have to take the dog outside, whatever, give yourself 5 minutes. So I understand when people say, you know, I don't have an hour to meditate, which is why I designed micro meditations for that purpose. But you can go into a micro meditative state by lying in bed for 5 minutes. And what I want you to do is just take notice of everything around you. It's that really delicious spot of, gosh, my pillows are so soft. This bed is so comfortable. My feet are so warm. And to some degree, you have to live in those superlatives. And that has to be the best bed that you've ever slept in, the most comfortable pillow, because guess what? It is. You will never have another morning and never another occasion like that again. So really just taking that 5 minutes and bringing your presence into your body and thinking, gosh, to not have to rush out of bed. It is somebody, whoever made this bed, really put a lot of attention into it. Somebody really cared about making this comfortable. Somebody really spent a lot of time on this pillow, on these sheets, on the wall design around me. If you can find small aspects of gratitude around you, you will just leapfrog into gratitude throughout your entire day. And gratitude, as we know, is the number one reciprocal emotion in the universe because it is fulfillment. When you are happy with what you are and where you are at any point in development, the universe will always send you more because it matches the vibrational frequency to it. It's scientific law.
Yeah, it's spot on. And I'm looking around because I have my book. Can't find it right away. But it's the 52 Weeks to Success, Better Health, Wealth, and Happiness. In the very first chapter, talking about habits, it's about gratitude. And the one thing that I say there, and you're right on with that as well, is you're saying yes to the universe. In that space of gratitude, you're just saying yes to it all. And the universe is just simply going to respond by just giving you that much more. And, yes. And I think that's key because, you know, that micro meditation, I love that idea. And, you know, I'm just such a super achiever. And so I'm busy like crazy. So that would work out perfectly for me. And it's a reminder that just to stop. And, you know, we talk about the power of now and everything else, but this is really very specifically targeted to noticing what's around you and then feeling gratitude to the feet that, you know, you've been walking on for all these years and the bad shoes that you might have been wearing. But then again, you know, the shoes that somebody made those shoes for you and somebody, you know, grew these plants for you and somebody, you know, harvested it for you and all these different things. And begin relating to the world around you simply in those terms. And that's just a key component to defining that fulfillment and that connection with the world. I think you're so spot on. So I know we only have about a minute left. And so I want to give you this time to just share with, you know, what you do from a professional perspective as far as coaching or teaching or speaking, and how people can actually find you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for that. As always, there's never enough time because we just, our energy absolutely, it coexists so beautifully. So I do a variety of things. I don't think I could define it into one or two or even three, but that is probably because I consistently stay in my joy and I love to help people and I love to help people grow. I do personal one-on-one coaching. I do workshops for women. I do workshops for the mechanics of the soul. So I just recently partnered with an amazing co-host, Elizabeth Winkler, who's a psychotherapist from Beverly Hills, and we created Soul Mechanics, which teaches people how to dial into their soul's purpose and then implement those steps into their life from a psychotherapy perspective. I do micro meditation workshops, series, and lectures. So micro meditations condense all the benefits of meditation that you would get in an hour into a 12 to 15 minute meditation using sound frequencies, neuro-linguistic pathways, and theta waves. So you're getting into that deep level of concentration and focus in about a quarter or a fraction of the time, which makes it really user-friendly for corporations and people like yourself who are going to conquer the world, you know, over the weekend. So it makes it really user-friendly, and that's my belief. It's all well and good for me to talk about the principles of my intuition and helping people find their life purpose, connecting them with messages, universal intuition, but none of it matters if it's not applicable to people's lives. And that's always my prayer. That's always my mantra, is that in order for me to be most effective in other people's lives, I have to understand, hold space, and meet them where they are at while helping to pull them where I see they can come. So there's, I wish I could define it in one or two things. Please feel free to visit my website. It's www.oliviaaudrey.com. And please, you know, send an info request if you have any on Instagram. I am Olivia Audrey, and on Facebook, Dr. Liv. And I would love the chance to connect with all of you.
Awesome. And, you know, we have a plan to be talking at least once a month on this platform and just sharing the beautiful things that you get to experience and share with. Olivia, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Once again, I'm Dr. Bart Rademacher, prescription for your transformation, real people, real conversations, real success. And I brought in a new term, which is capable of more and capable of better, in fact, capable of best. And so tapping into your authentic genius, and I'll be back next week. And Robin, just take it away.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Rademacher's Prescription for Transformation. Join Dr. Bart Rademacher live right here on Radio Star Worldwide each week or on demand 24/7.